Hi, everybody. This is wonderful to be able to be together. And I want to thank you all for coming tonight. Andy wanted me to share on the things that God's been doing. And I think the number one thing that I've been facing is challenges all year. And I figured I'm not alone in that. So hopefully tonight I'm going to be able to share some challenges that you have also been going through or gone through already, and be encouraged by what the Lord's done through these challenges, and it's amazing. But first, I just want to take a moment to thank you for being so wonderful. I mean, I've gotten cards and emails and phone messages from so many of you through these months. And you have no idea how much those words that you sent me have touched. They touch me so much every time I hear from one of you. And I just appreciate. I told my mom, I'm so spoiled. And I love it. But it's a wonderful church. It's a wonderful local body to be a part of. And I've never been so loved and supported in my life in a church situation or at work, and so thank you for thinking of sending those little love messages. So I have seven challenges I want to talk about, and I'm going to have to use a cheat sheet. You know, I don't like doing that, but I don't want to get lost here because they're kind of seven different things, so forgive me for using a cheat sheet tonight. But first of all, challenge number one I had was living in a new time zone. And I know, like I said, I'm sure I'm not alone in this, but it was the thing that I have finally, after 2 years, I think, 2 or 3 years, gotten to the point where I am able to come into my office in the morning, open up two calendars to start my day. I've trained myself to look at calendars to know what was on the docket for today. And I just got attuned to all that, and then after March, I think March 12th, all of a sudden, everything had to be crossed off, and to the point where there was just nothing left, and I had to face the blanks. Did your calendar look like this? It was like an incredible time warp for me, or something that I wasn't quite able to adjust right away to that I had nothing planned, no schedule, I had no requirements of my time anymore, and I kind of felt like I was just floating, and it was disturbing. And the hardest thing for me, I think, was being able to let go of the plans that I had planned and to let go of the disappointment, because I have a hard time with disappointment, always have, and to also to live in the present with nothing to look forward to. It was crazy, you know, and I didn't realize, the Lord really opened my eyes to how much of the joy that I have every day is through looking to future events, looking to future things that I had on my calendar. And so it was that I did a little piece on now here that looks like nowhere until you put a slash through it, and you feel like you're nowhere, you know, but it's really learning to live in the present now here and to be able to I had to reacclimate myself to a new time zone, I guess, and so that was a real challenge for me. I don't know about you, but being able to face that every day was a very new challenge. The second thing, my big challenge, was staying positive. Ooh-wee, that was you know, it's funny, in the pavilion, we had masks to wear, and they were those N95s, and everybody was complaining about how they hurt your ears. And so everybody started sewing with little headbands. They'd sew buttons on there, and they'd attach them here. And, I mean, there were all kinds of rig-ups. People were trying to make the mask comfortable. Then came the visors that we had to wear if we were going to be 6 feet close to a resident. And that was kind of restrictive. And then the when we'd have a morning staff meeting, everybody had to sit really far apart from each other in the dining room. And I can't hear anybody anyway, but that made it worse. They had masks on, and I was 10 miles away. And so all these things, and everybody was just so verbal about having to adjust to these masks and these... And, you know, somebody had once told me you can either be a thermometer or a thermostat. And you, if you're a thermometer, you pick up what the environment is around you and you just go with it, you know? You just fall right into place with everybody else. And this was tempting, you know? And then the thermostat person is not going to do that. They're going to set their own temperature and they're going to live in an atmosphere that they want to have instead of that. Well, this was a real challenge for me because it is so easy to complain, I'm telling you. And I remember Don had talked about, I don't know how long ago this was, about complaining. And I'll never forget, you know, I thought of anybody I know, I've never heard that man say one complaint in all the years I've known him. And I thought, you know, here I say so much, and yet I'm not living up to this, you know, and I felt bad, and I thought, I've got to become more positive, because here my last, Jackie Karen reminded me my last message at church was about grumbling and groaning, remember that? And so I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be not living up to the things I have shared on. So this was really challenging not to drown in a sea of negativity. It's funny, nowadays nobody mentions their ears. Nobody's wearing headbands with buttons on them anymore. We've all kind of adjusted. And that, I think, happens after a while. We do adjust. And so we're all walking around looking like lizards, and we're used to it now. But, number three, the loss of groupings. Groupings, and that's a little different than community, because community is bigger, but groupings are little gatherings of or formations of people that have a common person, common purpose or interest. And I'm sure all of you have had that same thing happen to you. I know a lot of you had like the stamp group and the Knitters Anonymous and all these different groups that shared a common purpose, small groups. And my main contact with the dementia unit and with the Connected Living had been in having these Vesper services and getting together in the dining area. We'd have around 20 to 25, but now nobody's in there. And it was really difficult because instead of being able to be together, it was now just one-on-one, one-on-one, because everyone had to be in their room. It's still that way now. And so, at least in the pavilion. So it was sad to lose the groupings, but it also did something amazing. We had new opportunity to be able to go into rooms of people who never ever wanted to bother with spiritual talk, you know, but they were lonely and they were sad. And so, you know, you just show your face in the door like, come on in. I've never felt so welcome. And so this was a wonderful change that happened during the and still is, where there were doors open that I'd never had opened to me before, because people they were lonely, basically, and they just were so happy. And they even let me talk about spiritual things. And they had the real privilege to lead two people to the Lord. That's an amazing thing for me, because people that that are in those older years, usually they're pretty set in what they believe or don't believe. And it's been nothing short of a miracle and a real blessing. So this is just one thing that was a result of something that was and it was an exchange. One thing was taken away, but it just loosed us to go into rooms individually. One of the things I've got to say is that Martin, and Shell Point, but under Martin's leadership and Peter's as well, was the fact that spiritual care means that much, that we are considered essential workers. I know so many of the chaplains in the hospitals were told they can't come in. These are professional chaplains and told they weren't essential. I checked, you know, I had to check because I didn't know what he was going to tell me when I called Martin and I asked him, do you still want me to go in? And he, absolutely, the spiritual care here at Shell Point is considered just as important as it is the medical. And that is not the norm. That's not the norm. And so Shell Point is an amazing place. And then as far as the assistant chaplains, that was a big question too, because they themselves are residents, and it's risky business, I suppose. And so I had to check with Martin again. There was this yes, absolutely. And I am so appreciative of an administration that considers spiritual care one of the most important things there is, too. And so I just love that. Number four, my challenge, number four, was keeping your heart sweet. When I was in Bible school, that was the rendition of, let not your heart be troubled, yeah, neither let it be fearful. It wasn't a request, it's a command. And we were always told, that's your responsibility to keep your heart sweet, soft. And I think this year was really challenging in that area. When we lived in upstate New York, my husband decided to take me to a three-ring circus. And it was up in Rochester, and I was really excited, and we went to this huge place, and there were three different shows going on at once, and I found that I cannot deal with three things at once. And I came home with a splitting headache, and I swore I'd never go to a three-ring circus again. And I think what happened to us this year was we had a three-ring circus that we had to deal with, and the first one being the COVID, I call it COVID-phobia, where you're afraid, fear, saw it in people's eyes, saw it at the store, getting in an elevator, and people would like back off because they were afraid, and I'd never had anybody be afraid of me before, but the COVID thing was this fear thing was big, fear of death, fear of getting sick, and so that was the first ring that was really difficult. And then come Memorial Day weekend when the George, I'm going to blank out on that again. Floyd, George Floyd. That happened. There was so much anger. You'd see it on the anger. Everybody was angry, it seemed. And they were burning cities down. And you're like, what's going on here? And then you'd have this soul searching. Am I racial? Am I not racial? You'd have accusing, your conscious accuse, then excuse. And you're going through this whole mental thing. It was awful. And so this anger was a problem. And then the next thing that we dealt with was hatred. So you've got these three things that came in because of the presidential race. There was so much anger and hatred too of people that I have seen in the elderly population, especially in the pavilion, of course, how much those three things have torn people up from the inside out. It's awful. And, I understand because if I watch the news, because it's a team thing, you know, you start as, yeah, you know, I can't stand that lady. And then it's like the Lord taps you on this. You're not supposed to be doing that toward people. Like Andy was saying this morning, we're supposed to love God, love people, love God, love people. And he said, that's not the way I see him. That's not the way I see her. I see a lost soul right there. And you're not looking through your father's eyes. You're becoming a judge of people. And I'm like, oh, you know, so I went through so much with this kind of hatred against people. I don't even know, just hatred and battling that. And the thing that I thought, okay, well, no problem. I'm just going to be mad at the media. I'm just mad at the media. I used to be in media. I know how they can by our camera angles or who you interview or whatever, you can really fuel anger and hatred. You got power when you're in the media, so I was mad at the media. And then I get this tap on my shoulder. Those are people. The Lord said, you know what? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against Sonny. Quit doing that. And it's what's causing all this anger inside or all these feelings. And I have seen so many people. There's someone at the pavilion. He's so just bound up with anger and hatred because of politics and stuff that he doesn't want to live anymore. He's done. He doesn't want to live anymore. Doesn't want to eat, drink. He's just had it. And I've run into that too much. And it's an age group where people should be enjoying their retirement and having peace in their minds and hearts. And I'm so anyway, that was a challenge for me and a huge challenge for my residents. And so anyway, I still pray for that. I have not overcome yet. I am working on it, but I know I got to have my Father's eyes and, you know, to remember to wrestle against the spirits behind everything we're going through, not the people, not the people. That's not my job. The next thing, eating my words. Anybody ever eat your words? Sometimes? Well, if you're like me, you've had a whole lot of opportunities to share the word with people. People are really spiritually hungry this year comparatively because everything else is gone. They're starting to be able to see their need of Christ and their need for the word of God. And so for me, the sunny spots, that has been an outlet for me. Usually I just would have a chance to share here maybe a couple times a year. Well, this was a couple times a week, and so it was really good. I mean, to help me from getting stagnant and, old bread on the plate gets stale. Sometimes you worry, you know, if you're not flowing, and so, boy, God answered my prayers. And the other thing is I always had wanted to be, some way to reach out to the independent community. Although my heart is for the sick and dying, I love being with my pavilion, but I always wanted to be able to reach out to the independent living, especially the people that don't know the Lord. That was such a desire. I never figured out how it could happen, but they did not come and ask me to do anything for the TV, for ShellPoint TV. One of my sweet chaplains brought up, she said to me, you know, this is a perfect opportunity. This is back in March. You know, these people are all stuck in their apartments. They're all waiting to see something on ShellPoint TV from Martin. Maybe this is a good time to inject some spiritual input into ShellPoint TV. And so I said, well, I don't think, you know, David's been doing this very effectively, but only that one little bit on Fridays. He's been doing a marvelous job, but I know that that's about all they were going to give us. So I said, well, I'll ask Martin, but I think not. But Martin said, sure, that sounds great. And he said, go talk to, what's her name, Lynn Schneider. Go talk to her and get that cleared. And she said, that sounds like a good idea, something spiritual, maybe three minutes or something. And I started out that way, but I ended up with 6 minutes, 8 minutes, but I you know me in words. But anyway, I don't know how long that will last. I'm just thanking God that it was an opportunity that never would have opened up if it hadn't been for COVID. And I have had response from people out in the independent community, people that are Jewish, people that are not believers at all. It's wonderful, and so it's a real blessing to me to have that. But the problem about eating your words that I started out with, it's so funny because the things that I say on those sunny spots come right back. You know, the one thing, let's say I started with dancing in the rain. I talked about, instead of hiding through this whole COVID thing and waiting for it to go away like a storm, to get out there and dance in the rain, overcome all that stuff, and just start finding ways to live, I don't know, somehow to dance in the rain. Sure enough, I mean, the whole thing came right back up on me in about 2 weeks, you know, because I was, you know, feeling like hiding out and, yeah, or the rocking chair worry is like, it's a whole lot of motion, but goes nowhere. It's like a rocking chair. And sure, I got something from the bank, and it just threw me into total worry fit. And then the Lord's like, remember that rocking chair thing you just talked about? And so I've been eating my words. Well, I've done 61 of those sunny spots. God has been so faithful. Well, thank you. It's his work. I could never have done that. It's amazing how he just pulls things and puts them together. So but I appreciate your appreciation. I appreciate God doing that faithfully. Another thing, challenge number 6, this is wonderful. Another thing that was impossible if it hadn't been for COVID. I've been part of the staff over at the Pavilion for, oh my goodness, 7 years. Either in activities for the first 3 or 4, and then on staff there now as the healthcare chaplain. But my main ministry is to the residents, of course. Every morning we have what's called morning stand-up meeting, though we don't stand up, we sit down, but we have this meeting every day, and they go over medical things, and I'm there. And anyway, when COVID began, Amy Dudley, who is a precious Christian lady, she said to me one day, she said, is there nothing you can do for staff? She said, they are falling apart. They have, their kids are at home, they're worried, they're, you know, all these things are building up on them, and there's so much fear. And I said, well, I don't think I can. I don't think that's my department. I'll check with the administrator and the head of nursing. And so I went to them, and I said, is it all right during morning meeting if after announcements I just, you know, little prayer or something? And she goes, oh, sure, you can go ahead, Sonny. And so for the first time ever, in Pavilion history, they say, is that I'm able to bring a little scripture, some testimony. I tell them about the blood of Jesus, the cross, salvation, and pray every day for them. So having a fresh message every day is a real challenge to go in that early and have something fresh, but it's a wonderful, wonderful challenge for me because I've come to know the staff better, and they come to me sometimes when they're having trouble. We didn't know each other that well prior to the COVID, so that's been wonderful. And then this last one, is challenge is keeping focused. I'm sure we've all been struggling with that, but the one thing is that you need a target to focus on. And this is something I was talking with one of the people that is in the overall shell point, and she was telling me that there's a strange silence from the residents. She said, I think it could possibly be because they're beginning to realize maybe 2020 is not the end of this, or that they're going to be, you know, they're getting weary, basically. And she said, we can't seem to get a rise out of people. She said the activities, the resort services, they're just doing all these things to encourage and get people up. And there's just not a response anymore. And she said, I think they're getting tired from this going on too long and not knowing when it's going to end. Somehow, she said, everybody had an idea that maybe when the calendar flipped over, it would be over. And I thought about, you know, if we don't have a goal, if we don't have a finish line to race, I saw the weirdest thing happen. When we lived in Austria, they always had marathons on TV, and they loved marathons. And they were mountain marathons. They were really difficult ones. And there was one that was in France, I think, there was just a handful of people left at the end of this one. And this poor woman looked like she was just straining her neck and dragging her body to keep going. They were on the last little part, And the finish line was over, around the corner. They were coming through this little town, and people lined the town, and the helicopter was right above, watching this scene of these poor straggling people trying to get to the finish line. And this woman, you could see her, it pained you to even look at her. Over to the side, you started seeing the crowds part, and this figure just running right along with her and shouting at her. It was her coach. And he was just running right along, telling her, "It's just around the corner, don't give up. It's just around the corner." She couldn't see it. And I thought about how that we spiritually, we don't have a coach that's running just alongside of us. We have the Holy Spirit living in us to run with us and in us to get us to our goal. But the thing is that what is his goal? What is his what is the finish line for the Holy Spirit as he takes us along? And I think we all need that. We need that just as much as people have been depending on the calendar to finish this difficult season off. We need a goal. And I think about Paul when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:26, he said, "I don't run like someone running aimlessly." And he said, "I don't fight like a boxer beating the air." And he's saying, we need a target. And Jesus said, it says in Hebrews, it says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the shame." And so if Jesus needs a goal, something before him, set before him, and if Paul needed something like that, of course we do too. But what is the joy set before me? This has really come up this year for me. What is my goal in all of what I'm going through, all these challenges? And I think, for me, I finally clarified it in a clearer way, what my target is, what I'm aiming at. And for 2020, and it's simple, just to become like Jesus. You know, Don this morning, he shared that scripture, God works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose, even COVID, and people with masks and having to do all these things, distance, and he can use all those things. But then it goes on to the next verse, and he says, "For whom he did foreknow," or elect, I like that word, "who he elected, he also predetermined," or prearranged, "that they be conformed to the image of Christ." This is the name of the goal that we have, is to be transformed to Christ's image, no matter what we go through. And the purpose of everything is that he can make us like his son. And I have gone over this scripture a zillion times and never noticed it, but here it is. It's Matthew 10:25. It's my new favorite scripture. Jesus was talking to the handful of disciples. He said, "It is enough. It is enough for the disciple that he become like his master, and the servant as his Lord." It is enough. You know, I looked up enough. It means adequate, as much as necessary, an acceptable amount. That is what I'm aiming at. I'm going to aim at that, no matter what we go through, no matter what the challenges are. That's what he is after, his son's image in us. And I think it's odd to say, but 2020 has been the best year of my life. It's very strange, yes, but it's true. I found this wonderful quote by A.B. Simpson, and I'll finish with that. He says, "God's great calendar does not measure time by days and years, but by preparations for the marriage of the Lamb and the readiness of his bride." That's you and me. The readiness of his bride. And so God is working on our readiness. You and I are living on God's calendar. So be encouraged and comforted. Let him help himself to your life. Everything we go through, he can use it and change us from glory to glory. Isn't that amazing? He's in us to do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the Holy Spirit living in us, running in us, taking us to the goal. Lord, we don't have to get discouraged. We know there's a goal, there's a finish line ahead of us, but we want you to have your way with us. We want you to change us into the likeness of your Son. Lord, help us to love like you love. Help us not to fall into that three-ring circus and to get caught up in the things of this world, and that our hearts would no longer be sweet and soft. Guard us, Lord Jesus. Help us to guard ourselves from those things. You've given us a heart of flesh. You've given us a new spirit. What a gift. Lord, help us not to go backwards, but to keep moving forward. And Lord, we thank you that the calendar that we're used to seeing is not your calendar. And we just thank you that you have everything in your power and control when it comes to us, to give eternal life and to change us into the bridegroom's love for the rest of eternity. Thank you so much for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.